Oh, goodness. You guys missed the show before the show. That's why. The very beginning, you guys laughing at each other, but this is going to be a fantastic show this week. I cannot wait for you guys to hear what we have in store. It is the Gospel Sports Truths Podcast. I am your Jose, the Fantasy Football Feed, and I have my guy, BK Wins. But more importantly, we have a special guest, and you got, like, I'm gonna give you 2 seconds to try to guess who it would be. You're never gonna guess, so I'm gonna just go ahead and tell you your 2 seconds is up. BK's parents are in the house, and I think BK's dad is actually gonna grace us with his presence for a few moments and talk about whatever he wants to sports related, because far be it from us to put a muzzle on the genius that is BK's dad. You know how many dadisms we've all benefited from over the last 14 months-ish? So now you get to hear it from the horse's mouth. Is dad available, BK?
Dad, are we going to say it? You have anything to say? You have anything you want to say? He has no contribution.
He has no comment?
No.
Hey, look. Make sure you speak loud enough, BK, that he can hear what you say, because at some point in time, he's going to disagree with you, and I want to get that. I want to get that sound bite.
I have no doubt that I'll say something that will make them roll their eyes.
All right, you guys, so let's go ahead and hop into it. Remember, you can catch us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's The Gospel STP. And special guest?
Yep, Dad is going to say something.
We have a special guest.
Come on, Dad.
What am I supposed to say?
You can talk about the Browns. You can talk about your all sports, everything. Talk about something. You can talk about the Buckeyes national title.
I can.
You can talk about whatever you want.
Hey.
Did we catch him on the spot there?
We did it. We put him on the spot.
We put him on the spot.
I tell you what, no worries. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and get the show rolling. And at some point in time, you're going to hear something that you're going to say, you young whippersnappers don't have any idea what you're talking about right now. And you can go ahead and correct us in public. How about that?
I got you.
All right.
Love you, Dad.
Let's go ahead and get started. So, BK, what's the good word of the week, my guy?
Sure. So, everyone is excited about this. There are two seasons, football and non-football season. The NFL released the 2025 schedule. I was curious, what are your reactions and what matchups are you most excited about, Zay? And I'm sure it's something Patriots related.
Actually, believe it or not, I don't have the Patriots on my list at all.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
You guys can check that off your bingo card.
Look, that's you can go ahead and put that on, you cross that off your bucket list for there to be a season to be spoken on that doesn't include the Patriots and I'm speaking on it. Well, yeah, but I have to be honest, I'm not necessarily tempering my Patriot expectations, but I am at this point waiting to see what we're going to bring to the table to know what matchup I should be most excited about or most fearful of. So I don't know just yet. We gotta see what we got first and see who makes it through the OTAs and preseasons without a season in the injury, because that's kind of hampered us a couple years as well. But the matchups that kind of stuck out to me, Dallas Cowboys against Philly in week 1, that's going to be the season and opener, our NFC East rival. Kind of looking forward to seeing that, seeing Dallas's revamped offense get beat up by Philadelphia Eagles offense that didn't need to be revamped and better defense. So Kansas City and the Eagles week 2, Super Bowl rematch. Baltimore Ravens against the Buffalo Bills, that's a week 1 matchup. That's going to be the Sunday night matchup, if I'm not mistaken. You have Detroit versus Kansas City in week 6, looking forward to that. Just because I want to see Detroit against Kansas City with the tons of defensive pieces that they were missing out on previously, that they kind of had to try to limp through with. But I want to see that matchup. Cincinnati versus Baltimore, week 13. That'll be a Thursday night showdown. That'll be the best matchup of Thanksgiving, humble opinion. Then a couple of other intriguing matchups, if you will. I'm looking forward to seeing the young guns go against each other, the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. Both teams are young. Both quarterbacks are young. Both coaches are new to their teams. One is new to coaching, so to speak. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to kind of shell out there in week 9. The Rams going up against the Jaguars in week 7. I know this kind of seems like a, what? So here's the thing. If Brian Thomas Jr. is as good as he was last year, which if you guys play fantasy, you know he was the number 4 fantasy in all of football. So that's kind of good. And then you Travis Hunter to that, and he's supposed to be as advertised, but he will never have to see a number 1 cornerback because the guy standing next to him is better. I like this for Trevor Lawrence. I like the fact that they now have a head coach who is in the vein of, what's my boy that's the head coach now of the Carolina Panthers, who was the OC for Tampa Bay, who turned Baker Mayfield around. I can see that's a similar sort of a situation with Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence has the better pedigree as far as the quarterbacks that this guy has, or this type of offense and tutelage has been instrumental to turning around. So I'm looking forward to that setup. Minnesota Vikings against Detroit. I'm looking forward to that one because it's going to be a late season showdown, and 9 times out of 10, there's going to be some playoff implications there. Of course, I'm looking forward to the forever linked Chicago Bears and Washington Commanders. They're going to be linked the same way Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota was, and that those are just the first two that came to mind, but they're normally quarterbacks that you just, when you think of one, you think of the other based on kind of the way the media talked about them throughout their drafting process and how everyone had different opinions on who was going to be better, worse, or indifferent. And as much praise as we give to Jaden Daniels, and it's much ado, Caleb didn't have a bad season. If you look at his stats, he actually had the best season of any Chicago quarterback as a rookie. We got to understand that he wasn't in the best situation as far as offensive tutelage, if you will. And now he has one of the best. So the same guy that was able to bring the best out of Jared Goff, who was kind of a middle of the NFL type of quarterback, and he brought him up to the upper echelon of quarterback, well, Caleb Williams can glean from that same wisdom. So I wouldn't put him out the pasture yet. So I'm looking forward to that matchup, and I will always look forward to that matchup. And that's the Commanders just beat up on him like 4 or 5 times in a row. And it's like, okay, this is not a rival, and we already know what's going to happen here. I'm looking for, lastly, and this is going back to week 1, but this is for purely selfish reasons. So I made this last, but Pittsburgh Steelers against the New York Jets week 1. I find it intriguing to see what Justin Fields is going to attempt to do against a team that didn't want him. But I also find it intriguing to know what a defense that's seen everything that he can do in practice every day for months, do they steal his cookie? So I'm interested in that personally, just because Justin Fields is still my guy as a Buckeye. He's one of my favorite Buckeye quarterbacks. But that's where I am as far as things that sort of intrigued me, if you will, as far as the slate that came out on yesterday.
No, I think you did a great job outlining that for us. I think for me, not only is it my favorite holiday, but you know, both the Broncos and the Commanders play on Christmas. The Broncos have a matchup against the Chiefs. And so being able to see both Washington and Denver on Christmas Day is going to be awesome. In fact, the NFL kind of stole this show from the NBA, who normally has showcases games on Christmas. So the NFL decided to say, hold my beer. we talked earlier in other shows, Zay, about how the NBA ratings have plummeted, and this won't help them, knowing that the NFL is definitely going to steal a lot of their thunder. But I'm also curious, because going back to the Steelers' debts, right? Will Aaron Rodgers face his former team should the Steelers get him? What about the Steelers playing the Packers later in the year? So I'll be interested to see if that actually manifests itself. Not saying it will or won't, but if it does, it should make for some interesting theater, to say the least. But honestly, I'm just excited football will be back sooner than later, because I miss it. So,
absolutely. I'm looking forward to the OTAs. I mean, just the rumors around camp of who's showing up and showing out that we didn't think would, but that kind of helps us selfishly in the wonderful world of fantasy as well. But absolutely. What we got up next, BK?
So a couple things going on in the NBA. First, the Mavs ended up winning the NBA lottery and have the number one overall pick. Reports have them taking player Cooper Flagg from Duke. I guess, what are your reactions to the Mavs stealing the number one pick when that wasn't supposed to be the case? It was supposed to really go to the Jazz, but the Mavs were able to get that. And then what impact do you think Flagg will have on the Mavs, and how do you think he fits with AD?
Well, BK, you know I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, okay? So there are a few things that were going around in my head when I heard that the Mavs ended up with the number one pick. The first thing that came to mind was, this is par for the course. So picture it, 2011. Chris Paul got traded from the New Orleans Pelicans. Guess who ended up with the number one overall pick? The New Orleans Pelicans. Guess who they drafted? Anthony Davis, right? Let's push this further along the road. 2019, Anthony Davis traded to Los Angeles. Guess who gets the number one pick? The New Orleans Pelicans. Drafted Zion. Okay. 2025, Luka Doncic traded to the Lakers. And it's also eerily coincidental. Anthony Davis is involved in every single piece of this. And that's just scary that he seems to be the scapegoat. But I'm just giving you the facts here. 25, Luka Doncic, traded to Los Angeles. Who gets the number one overall pick? The Mavs. This is par for the course as far as I'm concerned. So, bit of a conspiracy theory there. What do I think that Flagg will bring to the Mavs? He'll bring a lot of what Luka Doncic brought and more of what he didn't. He brings size. He brings defense. He brings a post presence. They now have a situation where I don't know too many teams that can contend with them in the post and in the mid-range, having Flag and having AD, and with Flag being able to then step out beyond the three-point line and AD being able to do that on occasion as well. Like, you have a situation now. Like, the same way that people can't okay, here we go. I got you. Here's your comp. They have a much better version of what's going on in Minnesota because their twin towers both can actually score instead of just being in the way. That's how I feel about it. And that can be scary when you look at the fact that they have money to spend as well. And Kyrie's coming back too at some point. Let's not forget he's there. So they kind of have a true big three at this point. And when you got to deal with Kyrie and his ability to distribute the ball, and you got two dudes that are big men but can pass the ball and can also score from pretty much anywhere, like, that's a scary team at this point, barring injury. You got to put that piece out there, barring injury.
Yeah, I love this for Dallas because, you know, it will make no mistakes. I was sad because with all the stupid things my Bulls do, this would have been their number one pick and they would have had the number one pick. So the Bulls lost out on Flag. So that's
it wasn't due to lack of trying, though. The players are just better than they thought when they got rid of their starters. I mean, they tried. Like, you can't ask the players to not show up, though.
That's true. But all that being said, I think the future is bright for Dallas. You know, Kyrie will be back. He's a star. AD, he's a matchup problem when he's healthy. I know that's a big if. Cooper Flagg's a winner. He comes from Duke, a storied program with a lot of success. College Player of the Year. I mean, he was phenomenal in his freshman season at Duke. I mean, you surround him with players like AD and Kyrie. There's no way he's not going to be great. And he's a smart kid.
Cooper Flagg was making the Olympic team look bad. Yeah. Think about that for a second, y'all. Like, this college kid was making the grown men that won the gold medal in the Olympics look bad. Like, horrible. So, as mad as the Mavs were last year about Luka Doncic being gone, that's as happy as they're going to be when Cooper Flagg's name is called. You're welcome.
Yeah, so it should be... If I'm a Dallas fan, you're going to be really excited about what the future looks like. I know their GM, Mr. Nico, gets a lot of criticism for trading Luka, but if you pair Aiden, Kyrie, and Flagg, I think you're going to be really happy in Dallas watching that team moving forward, assuming if they stay healthy, and we know that's a big if. But if they do, the needle's pointing up in Dallas. In other NBA news today, superstar forward Jason Tatum ruptured his right Achilles tendon during their Game 4 loss to the Knicks. He since underwent season-ending surgery. There's no timetable for his return. Will Jaylen Brown and Derek White help save the Celtics season? As you all know, the Knicks were up 3-1 over Boston. But the Celtics hammered them 127-102 in Game 5, Game 6 Friday night in New York. Can the Celtics save themselves a move to the Eastern Conference Finals? Or is it too much to overcome, Zay? What do you think?
Stick a fork in them. They gave you the one for the Gipper last game. The Gipper went home. They're losing this next game. New York won't allow this opportunity to leave, because that's when fear starts creeping up behind, like, hey, you really weren't supposed to win this series anyway. So just be happy that you made your fans excited for the second year in a row, which constitutes a trend. And that's honestly, that is good enough for New York based on how many years of mediocrity they had. But they want to keep the dream alive. You don't allow that Celtics team to stick around for Game 7 and allow somebody that shouldn't be a hero to become a hero. The same as the game that they just won. Somebody came out of the woodwork. Cormet?
Oh, yeah, Cormet.
Yeah, he came out of the woodworks. He wasn't supposed to put up points like that. But, hey, all they need is one hero. It's not like Tatum was putting up a ton of points. All you need is that one guy to step up, that one vet or that one rookie to put up a little bit more than they would for Brown and, you know, the leaders of the team, if you will, and Derek White, Brown, those guys, the ones that are a part of making this the most expensive team in America right now. Hey, this is what we're paying you for. Next man up. We got to make it shape. Because I can tell you this, you got a brand new owner, and he didn't agree to pay any of y'all. So you better show up when it counts the most, or somebody's going in this offseason. Because why are we keeping it all together? Like if I shouldn't have to pay 3 or 4 max salaries, and none of you can be a max player if the other one isn't on the court. That's not the formula for success, because there's too many injuries that can go down. So somebody better do something to make it look good for the camera at least. But with that being said, I do have the Knicks taking out the Celtics in Game 6. Knicks in 6.
So Zay, you're going to appreciate this, because I'm going to use a little conspiracy theory.
Okay.
So let's walk through some of the teams that are remaining. The Indiana Pacers, are they a large media market?
Nope, sure aren't.
Are the Minnesota T-Wolves a large market?
Sure aren't.
Is Oklahoma City or Denver a big market?
Not at all.
But what are Boston and New York?
The only two big markets left. And honestly, Boston isn't necessarily a big market, but it is a sports, it's a sports area, if you will. So
wouldn't it make for excellent TV and drama for this series to go a little bit further?
BK, let me tell you something. I don't think it goes further, but I will tiptoe on your conspiracy theory. I was talking to somebody at work a few days ago, and I was saying, look, you got to understand that as it pertains to trades, as it pertains to wins and losses, excuse me, not wins and losses, but as it pertains to trades and as it pertains to the playoffs, if you don't have one of these three, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Boston Celtics, or the New York Knicks, if you don't have one of those three teams involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion, it's not going to move the meter for the NBA world, for the NBA landscape, if you will. When Luka Doncic got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, that increased NBA viewership 38%. That's huge. As soon as the Lakers were out of the playoffs, the ratings dropped. The ratings picked back up when the Knicks started to do it. There's certain teams that, for the league you're in, when they do well, the league does well. So the Knicks had to get right. The Celtics have been right. The Lakers are on the track to getting back to where they need to be. But my thing was, whoever won between the Knicks and the Celtics, they're going to the championship. They have to, for basketball's sake. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You let the New York Knicks get to a championship? Oh, my goodness. The city and state of New York will be in an uproar that you've never seen as it pertained to. You thought you saw something when the Giants won a Super Bowl? You thought your parents had stories for when Namath won something? No. If the Knicks win a championship, bruh, I'm telling you, like, it's certain things that move the meter in the NBA. In that story, like, it's the biggest storyline. There is no other storyline out there right now that will move the meter in the NBA. Just putting that out there. So if there's a futures bet that gives the Knicks favorable odds, I'd take it now. That's just me. Not stepping on your toes, BK. I know that's your neck of the woods. I'm going to leave that to you. I'm just putting that out there.
So we're going to talk about that, Zay. That was a great transition. So moving to the NBA and NHL playoffs, a couple teams have already advanced. The T-Wolves beat the Stephless Warriors 4-1 to advance to their second straight Western Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Indiana Pacers upset the top-seeded Cavs 4-1 to advance to their second straight Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics, as we mentioned before, demolished the Knicks 127-102 to cut that series down to 3-2, game 6 Friday night in the Garden. And then and Thursday night, OKC, game 6 in Denver, they lead 3-2 in that series. What were your takeaways, reactions to the NBA part as we sit right now?
I'll say surprised, but not surprised by the Pacers. The Pacers showed us what they had last year. And I told everyone who wanted to listen that I kind of felt that the Cavs were in the same position that OKC was last year. You kind of don't know what you don't know about your team yet. And next year, they'll be better off for it. So now, 4-1, I didn't see that coming. But then when you're dealing with injuries as well, it kind of just piled on. Knicks leading Celtics 3-2. Didn't see that coming. And this is coming from someone who loves the current construct of the New York Knicks. I that combination of Cat, Brunson, Hart, like Bridges, like they have every piece of a quintessential team, if you will. They have the heart, they have size, they have the glue guy, they have the whatever you can't do on this evening, I'll take care of for you guy. I mean, they have a team. Like a lot of teams have a couple of good players. They have a team. So, but I also look at the Celtics as having a team and they're the defending champs. So there's that piece of it. How much surprise is there being 3-2? A little bit. But I wasn't one that said the Knicks just have a puncher's chance against the Celtics anyway. I thought it would be more competitive than that. T-Wolves over Warriors 4-1. No Steph. No nothing. Now, in that series, I'll tell you what. I was surprised that Jimmy Butler couldn't do more with that group. He had his, you know, injury as well. But I still felt like they were kind of better than what he got, than the group that he got to the finals, even without Steph. So that's one of those. Maybe because he doesn't know the team quite as well, being as how he just got there, they haven't quite gelled as well. So I don't know. Then lastly, OKC leading the Nuggets, they just know how to, they just match up well against the Nuggets. They know how to play well against the Nuggets. They aren't afraid of them because they see them all the time. So that didn't really surprise me based on what OKC was able to do throughout this year. So the Thunder making it to the finals in the Western Conference is what is supposed to happen based on what we've seen. So that's kind of how I feel about what I've seen so far. I'm kind of interested in your opinion as far as the looking long term from the, and if this is going to be in BK's best bets, I apologize. I'll wait with bated breath. But if not, what are your long-term outlooks in as far as best bets are concerned with the futures for the NBA? And where are you looking to place that, if you will?
Yeah, sure. So a couple quick takeaways, right? First, what a treat it is to watch SGA and Jokic battle in the second round between OKC and Denver. It's been a treat to watch that. As far as futures go, there are six teams to have a radar on. OKC is the huge favorite, -120 as of Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The T-Wolves +500, the Knicks and Pacers +600, the Celtics now +1,800, so the defending champions in trouble there. The Nuggets +2,500, rounding out those teams. It's interesting to me because from a betting perspective, while the odds are against them, we're looking for value, right? And you know me well enough to know, Zay, when I look at value and I look at the bigger numbers, where do you think my eye looks?
Are you going to the Celtics?
I like the Celtics at +1,800. Not because I disagree with what you said, that there's a very real chance the Knicks close them out Friday night. But +1,800, imagine if you put $100 on that. +1,800 is a huge payday versus, you know, when I look at the other teams, right? Do I really think the T-Wolves are going to win the title? Look, I'm going to say this. I'm not a Minnesota fan, but I'm a basketball fan. Ant Edwards is by far my favorite player in the NBA. I didn't say he's the best player. Make no mistake, I didn't say that. He is my favorite player to watch. I love watching him play. He's terrific. Again, to be clear out there, everyone, I did not say he's the best player. He is my favorite. Those are two different things. But I love watching T-Wolves play. But at the end of the day, plus five. Do I think they're going to go through OKC or Denver or Boston or the Knicks or the Pacers? I don't know. That's a lot to ask for on a team that's never been there. The Pacers and the Knicks. When's the last time either one of them will won a title? Plus 600, seem, and one of them is going to knock the other one out. So that's if they get that far, right? They both get that far. So that's another problem. And I don't think the Nuggets at plus 2,500 are going to be able to get through this. But you give me the Celtics at plus 1,800. If they get through the Knicks, they're going to go to the finals. And if they go to the finals, who out west is going to knock them out? Like, I just honestly...
I can see whoever comes from the west knocking them out without Tatum. Honestly.
And they could. But I'm just looking at the...
The odds. I got you.
The odds.
You're salivating when you saw the 1,800. I know. But, I mean, what was it? No, last year it was plus, was it plus 700 in the NHL? And I want to say it was a similar, was it 700 or 800, plus 700 or 800 for Jaylen Brown to be the MVP, I think it was.
Yeah, and we took Connor McDavid plus 750 to win MVP.
Yeah, yeah, so it was, it was the three, you're right,
Jaylen Brown to win finals MVP, because remember, Tatum was sitting at minus 125, and everyone was just drooling over Tatum to win it, and I'm like, let's go to Jaylen Brown.
I mean, this time of the year seems to ring bells for you, BK, so... I don't mind sharing my thoughts with the people, but if you're putting any shekels down, go with BK's advice, and he will be giving his personal email shortly, just in case he's wrong.
the other thing that I wanted to say is I feel really bad, and everyone out here knows, despite being from Cleveland, I'm not a Cavs fan, always been a diehard Bulls fan. And there have been a lot of bad years since 1998. And that's a story for a different day. But from a Cavs perspective, having, you know, family, friends back there, and, you know, something that Dad always says to me is, you know, it's one thing to lose knowing the other team is better than you. It's another thing when injuries or you beat yourself derail you. And the Cavs had a dream season, winning 64 games. They're one of the four teams in NBA history to win 64 more games and not make it to the conference finals. And the Cavs had all the pieces, parts, had a great season, three winning streaks of 10 or more games. They started the year 15-0. They had a 16-game winning streak, which is a franchise record. Even with the great LeBron James in Cleveland, they never won 16 in a row. So the Cavs had a special season, but I think two things derailed them in the post. Well, three things, really. One, the injuries. You know, Mobley missed game two. Garland wasn't himself. DeAndre Hunter missed a game, as game two as well. Neither one of the, none of those three looked them, there looked like themselves after game two when they returned. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell had, did everything that he could, but, and he was terrific in the game five loss, 35 more points, but he, you know, was dealing with an injury as well, his ankle. I think the two things that really hurt them, despite the injuries being one of them. But the Pacers closed the year 34-14. I don't think people realize just how scary good the Pacers can be. And they force you to play a tempo that you don't want to play.
Yeah.
They're really good at imposing their style and gameplay on you. But the other part of it is, and this is something, Zay, you and I talked about a lot leading up to the playoffs, is we knew that they would crush the Heat, right? But when they got to play the Pacers, how would they handle the pressure knowing that they're an inexperienced team? You know, how would they handle that? Now, injuries played a huge role in this, but the fact is you saw their lack of composure in some of these games. They had meltdowns at the end of game two. They got a lot of technical fouls and fights and pushing and shoving. They let the Pacers get in their heads. And as a 64-win team, who's the favorite? You can't let that happen. You know, you still got to play to your strengths and play your game. Mitchell was a superstar, but where was everyone else?
Agreed. It's, you don't know what you have until you really have to put up or shut up. It's just different in the regular season and the postseason. It's also different when you have to figure things out on the fly because guys that you thought you were going to be able to depend on, you couldn't due to no fault of their own. So I wish the Cavs the best of luck. I think they'll come back better for it on next season. But I kind of want to get a little bit of your insight, kind sir, as far as the prognosis for the NHL playoffs. The Panthers currently lead the Leafs 3-2. The Canes lead the Caps 3-1. Stars lead the Jets 3-1. Oilers advance 4-1 over the Golden Knights. That is the one that surprised me. I thought that would be more of a series. But what's your outlook on the NHL situation?
Yeah, so quick breaking news. We can update that. Not only have the Oilers advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the second straight year, but the Carolina Hurricanes just ousted the Capitals 3-1. They got two late goals to win 3-1. They take the series 4-1, winning the last three games. The Canes are in the Eastern Conference Finals where they await the Panthers and the Leafs. I think for me, I had the Panthers, Canes, Stars, and Oilers all winning in six. Some of them happened in five. Whether it's five or six really is neither here nor there. The right teams are ahead, but in terms of that. But from a future standpoint, the defending champion Panthers plus 400, Oilers plus 300, the Canes are plus 300. Keep in mind, good people, that the plus 300 was before closing out the Caps tonight. So the odds are going to get a little bit better now that they're through to the next round officially. It might move to plus 275 or even plus 250. The team that I have my eye on, though, I think it's very likely we're going to have a Stanley Cup Finals rematch where the defending champion Panthers are going to get the Edmonton Oilers. Why? Because it's almost like Coach Paul Maurice of the Panthers heard me last night, because I kept waiting for them to play their style. When the Panthers play their game, their forechecking is dominant. They hit you left and right, and then they come at you in waves, and they overwhelm you, and kind of like an anaconda, they suffocate you. And they really do that. And yesterday, they dominated the Maple Leafs. I mean, that game was 6-0 before Toronto got a meaningless cosmetic late goal. But still, that was an impressive performance. We'll talk about game six a little bit later. But what I will say is I like the Panthers, Oilers in a rematch. Oilers because I do think we'll see the Oilers and Stars. I love the Oilers because it's hard to beat Connor. When you have McDavid and Draisaitl and Evander Kane, that team scores a lot. They're a slow-starting first-period team, but they're really good in periods two and three. And the sad thing is they're doing really well without having success on the power play. They're in the bottom three in the postseason in the power play goals, which is crazy knowing that you have McDavid and Draisaitl. So that's kind of how I'm looking, but expect the defending champs, the Panthers and the Oilers, to see each other again.
Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the good word for the week. And now it is time for the truth, nothing but the truth. What we got?
So the streaming era of sports is not going to be cheap this year. NFL fans will have to spend at least $1,500 to watch all 18 games next season. The breakdown goes something like this. NFL Sunday Ticket, $522. YouTube TV, $564. Peacock, $14. Netflix, $23. Prime, $90, ESPN Plus, $105. And then, of course, when you add in the almost $200 in taxes and fees, $198-ish to be exact, you're looking at a little over $1,500 to catch every single NFL game. My question to you, Zay, is you and I both eat, sleep, breathe football. When is too much to pay for this?
Well, for me, too much was too much 2 years ago. So, too much was too much when DirecTV was charging $200 for the Sunday ticket. It's not that deep when. So, let me explain to you what happens when people get greedy, especially when we're talking about the streaming era, right? So the thing about the streaming era is this can mess around and end up being the NFL's version of Rome falling down, because a fan will figure out a way to watch the game when you make it too inconvenient to pay up front for it. And then you have a whole ton of people in a mass exodus that are just going to pay some other IPTV provider $100 a year to get access to everything. You're doing this to yourself. Like, too much is too much. Like, at some point, all of the we want to play a football game in every single country, and we want to, you know what? I'll leave it there for now. You'll hear a little bit more about this a little bit later on, but yeah, it's we're doing too much.
I agree. I think it's a big ask to have people spend $1,500 to watch every single game, right? Like, I think we need to do better. And all I'll just say is I openly tell everyone there are two seasons, football and non-football season. I love football season, but to have to fork out $1,500 to watch every single game, to me, is criminal. Like, there's no reason why that should happen. And that's the truth.
Gotta agree with you on that one, buddy.
So, rounding out this edition of The Truth and Nothing But The Truth, big news in Major League Baseball this week is Commissioner Pete Manfred came out and said they reinstated Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and 15 other deceased players from the permanently ineligible list. This sent shockwaves around the sports world. What are your thoughts on this big news?
Short and sweet, it's about time. I do wonder, though, what was the driving force here? I kind of always felt that after he passed away, it wouldn't be too long after that that they would go ahead and let him in. The only other thing that has recently happened or been stated was some comments by President Trump indicating that he thought that the ban should be lifted. And I believe he's, I don't want to misquote, but I think he said that about someone else too. But I do recall it being specifically about Pete Rose, but I think he was commenting on someone else too. I don't know if that had any effect on it as well. But as far as my opinion is concerned, it's about time. Like, people have done worse things. Like, I don't know. It's about time. I don't think much more needs to be said. Congratulations, and I hope now you can truly rest in peace.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I know people always worry about the integrity of the game. If you're passed away, you clearly can have no negative influence on the game. So it's long overdue. Charlie Hustle was an absolute beast of a baseball player. And outside of the gambling piece, which I understand caused a lot of angst, and understandably so, but he, in terms of how he played the game and how great he was at playing the game, there's no doubt he's a Hall of Famer. There's no way he can't be.
100% agree. And I'm just, it's never too late to right a wrong, is I guess how I would look at it.
Well, moving to happier news, one of our favorite segments of the show, the top five something random of all time. This week is actually going to start with, or continue, I should say, with more sports-related info. In this case, top five basketball duos of all time. Zay, I'm going to give you the honors. Who you got at number five?
So, this one for me, I didn't see as much of, but I gotta go with Magic and Kareem. That it just, two all-time greats, a real peanut butter and jelly kind of a, you know, you take care of your area, I take care of mine, we win this thing. Like it, so, yeah, that's where I'm gonna go first.
I love it. Well, this isn't, it's not flashy, but it just wouldn't be their way. My number five, in honor of Coach Pop and well-deserving, Timmy. Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, my number five.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Duncan and David Robinson. I know they only played together like a year, but that pairing. I see what you're doing. So you got Tony over Ginobili?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Cool.
I wouldn't be mad at having Manu there, but I just think, for me, I think that Parker had the bigger influence there.
Okay. Next up for me, another pairing that, again, I didn't get to see as much, obviously, but what I have seen on the back end and the numbers that show what they show, I don't see how I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't include Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain. Like, it's the logo and the guy that averaged more points in a game than anyone. You put those two things together, and if we're saying best pairing, it's the logo. Like, the literal dude on the NBA logo and the guy that put up the most points per game ever. They gotta be on the list. That didn't matter if I actually watched them play. They gotta be on the list. That's number four.
I can't get mad at that at all. My number four, I'm going to go to your rivals, the Celtics. Not that I watched them play, but their success was unprecedented. Give me Bill Russell and Bob Cousy for my number four top duos.
They're okay. All right.
You'll be happier with me as we go later through this, by the way.
Number three for me, LeBron and Kyrie. For them Bulls to go out there and beat the team that had the record, the NBA record for most games won, highly regarded as the best team in the NBA ever. And to go out there and beat that team. There are others that would give more credit to guys that beat teams that they were supposed to beat. I gotta give homage when you were the underdog, although you were the best player on the court, and paired with a young buck that at that point didn't know what he didn't know yet, and being able to create the synergy that brought about that's the greatest championship in NBA history. It's a team that hadn't won squat in forever, beating the team that was widely regarded as the best ever. There's going to be a movie about that at some point in time. That's number three.
My number three, we're going to go to your favorite team, Zay.
Way too soon, but go ahead.
Kobe and Shaq.
Way too soon. Yeah, way too soon. Number two, MJ and Pippen. For me, MJ's pretty good. He's had some highlights in his career and done some good things here and there. So, you know, MJ's pretty good. And Pippen, he's pretty good too. Actually, Pippen was actually good enough that when MJ left the Bulls, he only lost two additional games in comparison to the year when Jordan was there. So you could almost say Jordan really didn't mean as much to the team as some people would have indicated that he would, because you know, all the other GOAT candidates, had they've been removed from their teams, that there was catastrophe as soon as they left. But, you know, winning two less games. So, I mean, you got to give Pippen his props, too. That he was able to take Jordan's team, if you will, and have similar success rates. So, hats off to the two of them. MJ, one of the best ever. Pippen, one of the most underrated ever.
It's a good thing that we don't have to check my blood pressure during this part. That's all I can say. You'd be running.
Your face says it all. Your face is about as red as an Altoids can. Cinnamon or peppermint, to be exact.
my number two, going back to Tinseltown, Magic and Kareem. Magic and Kareem are my number two. Showtime with Magic is something to behold. Kareem has the most universally dominant move with that unguardable skyhook ever. To be over 7 feet tall and have a skyhook is just terrific duo that they have. So I have them number two.
Number one for me, Shaq and Kobe. I earnestly believe if they could have aligned more from a personality standpoint, they could have been, as far as championships, as far as stats, all that kind of good stuff, literally the most dominant in, like, there would be very few 1B to their 1A conversations had they been able to kind of hold it in the road. Because if you mix the mentality with the unmovable object and they're actually getting along, like, how do you deal with that? Like, I don't know how teams would have been able to deal with that. Shaq went on and had success. Kobe went on and had success. Both of them won championships without each other. That doesn't happen either. There aren't very many pairings, and I'm not going to say there aren't any other pairings, because I don't know for sure where the dominant forces together went and got championships separately as well. I know you're like the almanac with this kind of stuff, so you may have an idea if there was another, but if there was another, there was probably only one other, and I'm not sure who that one other was. I guess you can look at Kareem and Magic, with Kareem winning a championship with the Bucks before pairing with Magic, and Magic winning a championship. Well, no. Did Magic win a championship after Kareem? Did he? I don't think so.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, with Worthy and them boys. Okay. Yeah.
Worthy and Byron Scott and Cooper.
So that would kind of be one. But that wasn't we were together and then we split. That was 1-1-1 before the other one came along. And then, but that's the closest, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, my number one's I need to right the ship and end the segment on a positive. The number one is the GOAT and Pip. MJ and Scottie Pippen, number one. Everyone wants to be like Mike. We already know the deal. They were the unstoppable. Six titles in 8 years, two three-peats, a 72-win team that just ran through the playoffs. They did something that the Warriors couldn't do, although the Warriors did kind of get jobbed by a phantom technical foul, then suspension, that changed the series. But however,
I heard a whistle. That's all I could tell you, BK.
However, The GOAT and Pippin, the best duo. And by the way, not only were they amazing teammates and made each other better, but those two played relentless defense. Like, they were relentless on defense. And honestly, that's part of
it. Like Kobe and Shaq would. I'm just saying.
Shaq was awesome.
Like, I'm telling you, like, they could have, let me be careful with my level of hyperbole. They could have done a lot of damage to what we think about the duo of MJ and Pippen had they stayed together. I'll put it that
way. Agreed.
I'll put it that
way. I will give no pushback to that.
Okay, well, look, we're getting along on a Jordan topic. Look at that. Oh, we're maturing. We're growing. I love that on this show. BK, it is time for the money-making part of the show. BK's best. What we got?
Yeah, so we're going to stick with what has made us money. A couple of my friends out there doubted this. Remember back when the Leafs were up 2-0 and gloom and doom and, oh, BK, you said the Panthers were going to win in six and the Panthers were the series bet and all this stuff and we heard about it. And, well, unfortunately, you don't win a best of seven series being up 2-0, unfortunately. You got to get to four. And for the Leafs, they couldn't get past those two. They lost games 3 and 4 in Florida. And if last night's hockey game was a wrestling I quit match, Toronto quit in the second period as they got steamrolled by the defending champions. That series will be over tomorrow night as the Panthers will go to Sunrise and they're going to set the season. They'll end the season of the Leafs tomorrow. It'll be 4-2. The Panthers money line best bet for tomorrow. That'll be the Panthers and the Canes in the Eastern Conference Finals. By the way, also book it early. Take the Panthers, a bonus Panthers pick. Give me the Panthers to win the series against the Canes. They're going to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. But before we wrap up this segment, Zay, and it's not just about me on the program, I'm going to ask you a little, you know, you've been listening to me babble about this for 14 months now or so. I'm going to turn this back on you a little bit. So we talked about the Celtics and the Knicks. They have a game 6 tomorrow in New York. The Knicks are a 2.5-point favorite to try to close out the defending champs. Is it the game that you're betting on? If so, who and why? If not, why not? What you got?
I liked the Knicks a lot last year. And I just really feel like they're in a prime position with Tatum being out to go ahead and wrap this thing up, especially with the energy that they're going to be feeling in New York. So I like the spread on the Knicks. I like the money line on the Knicks. Give me the Knicks. And maybe that's, how would I say it? Maybe that's the public in me bubbling up versus the Vegas mind of me, knowing that normally with Vegas, they want to extend series that have more eyeballs, and they also want to extend series that have massive bets. Normally, the larger the markets, the larger the bets. A lot of the small market teams, some of the people that are just spending random money right now won't care about one way or the other, so they won't just spend up the way they would on their new on their beloved New York Knicks or on their beloved Celtics. So I guess with that being said, maybe I'm more bullish on the Knicks money line, and then maybe the Celtics cover, so Vegas gets it both ways. That'll be my Vegas answer.
Fair enough. I just, for the record, I have no play on this. So no official play, not even a lean. But if you made me pick this game, I just have a sneaking suspicion that the Celtics steal game 6. And I say that because the Celtics have won, well, They blew them out in game five. And you could say that was an emotional win, one for the Gipper at home, kind of, you know, last hurrah kind of deal. And I get that. I don't think there was any doubt they were going to win game five because of the emotion and trying to win one for Tatum at home. But the Celtics have had a 14-point or more lead in all five games so far. So it's not like they've struggled in the series. They just haven't played four quarters. They played three or two and a half. So, you know, they played four quarters for the first time in game five. We'll see if they can do it again. They're going to have to, or they're going to be done. My instinct just says somehow they find a way. And I also think the NBA ratings helps find them a way. But I think that one would go seven, but we shall see.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And now we are to the last part of the show, the Can't Miss Weekly Rants. As per customary, BK, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I will let you go first.
All right. So for me, this is going to be short and sweet. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. And the NFL is getting to the point now where I kind of feel like they're crossing the divide of wanting money and loving money. And it's producing all sorts of evil. The price gouging has to stop. The sending people into dangerous situations just so you can colonize the world with NFL has to stop. You had two teams that couldn't even wear their actual colors for fear that they would be attacked by gangs in Brazil if they wore green. So you sent two teams that both have green uniforms. Like, it's just like, when is enough enough? Like, we keep adding games, yet knowing that the more games you play, the more likely you are to be hurt. Also understanding that the teams that are going to play the most games year over year are the better teams. So, again, when is enough enough? You charge the same price for preseason as you do for regular season, as if they're going to see the superstar play the entire game. Ticket prices very rarely go down unless the team is not worth watching at all. Then you give the tickets away. But then as soon as the product is worth it, the people that became loyal to you in your down years, you price them out of the market. At some point in time, you got to understand that, yes, you are Rome of sports, but Rome failed too. Get it together or leave it alone. The NFL is too important to ruin itself. That's all I got.
So I'm going to take a liberty here, and I'm going to combine two rants into one comment.
Okay.
Rant one. Shame on you, Yankees fans. Last year when you were booing Aaron Judge in the postseason, or any time that you're booing Aaron Judge, you know, since he got ejected last season for the one and only time in his career, in the 162 games that have followed, he's hit 66 home runs, 162 RBIs, and hit 389. Please stop. Number two, we're going to talk about one of your babies, Zay, the WNBA. So Caitlin Clark came out and said something, and she says a lot, and some of it is way out there. But this, I think she's right on point. So she made a comment the other day about how she totally understands and agrees and thinks it's well-deserved that NBA players make way more money than the WNBA players do. And she explained a variety of reasons why. And she's right. But the part that I want to focus on is she also said that we should make way more money than live golfers because nobody watches them. And that is a fair point. Why are they making $500 million contracts when nobody watches or cares? Who won the last live tournament? I only know because I happened to watch some of the PGA tournament major today. Otherwise, I have no idea that they even have tournaments anymore because even though they're on TV, nobody watches and nobody cares. What are we doing? So, Caitlin, you're right. please stop paying these ridiculous fees to these golfers that nobody cares to watch them. And Caitlin, keep doing what you're doing.
One very quick retort. I don't want to give the WNBA to the Middle Eastern billionaires that make live golf possible. So I need them to live with just being okay with being paid a little bit less. You are right. But in order to get you paid what they get paid, there are some guys over there that would take over the WNBA right now. If it wasn't a rule against it, there would be, I promise you, the guy that's spending a lot of money, I forget his name. What's the guy that's spending a lot of money on boxing right now? The one that's getting all these huge matches together now because he's willing to pay out of his pocket. And you do know that, and we didn't talk about this, and we don't have time for another topic, but we're going to have to talk about the fact that Dana White is now supposedly going to be involved in boxing going forward. I love it for the fans. I don't know if I like it too much for the boxers, because for the fans, you're going to see the fights that you should have been seeing all along, because it's going to be a, you know, put up or shut up situation. For the boxers, he don't pay out very well. So you better hope that Middle Eastern guy continues to line your pockets for the next couple of years, because I think Dana White will end up being worse for boxing than Don King when it's all said and done.
Honestly, at the end of the day, Zay, you know what the Saudis have been for Live Golf? They've essentially been their GoFundMe.
Cash flow. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So be careful what you ask for, Caitlin. I don't want anyone sweeping you guys away to having to have 10 games out of the season in random countries, and then we never get to see you, because that's one of the reasons no one watches Live Golf, because it's on while you're sleeping. So there's that part too. With that being said, that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you guys for coming along for the ride. Remember, if you have not followed or subscribed, please do so and tell a friend. Join the Facebook group like yesterday, because you're missing out on a whole bunch. Other than that, it pretty much wraps it up for this week. Remember, tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
We out.
Later, y'all.